All right. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the baptism with the Holy Spirit that you gave your church in the beginning, and you continue to give your church. And we believe in you, Lord Jesus, that it's you that we need to be filled under the fullness of God. And so we come today and humble ourselves as we come to the Scriptures and ask your Holy Spirit to teach us. And we ask today that we would be instructed in the way that we are to go. That when we walk, we would not stumble. We would not, when we run, Lord, we would not stumble. When we walk, we would not be weary. Seeking that, to follow you all the days of our lives and to glorify you and to magnify the Son of God, that those that have come to live here and those that are here in this city would know. They would know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That you could, through this gospel and in the lives of your people, send forth the salt and the light into this world, and that you, Jesus, would be glorified in your church. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to be upon us and witnesses unto you, Jesus, in our Jerusalem, that Fargo-Moorhead would receive the Lord God, that you, Jesus, would bring a mighty working salvation, and you would pour your mercy out. Lord, I cry out to you for mercy, and that you would bring forth Jesus for us today. You would bring forth a people who are born of you, who walk like you, and to go forth and really glorify our Father in heaven. So I ask you to be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So find your way to Ephesians 4. It's 17 through 32. You find your way there. Morning, Samuel. How are you this morning? Is he leaving?
Yes, he is.
How am I going to preach the sermon at him if he's leaving? Oh, man. I could have him up here. We could compete. There we go. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. Today's not polished. I'll just tell you right up front, from the heart. There's no polish to today's sermon, so you're not going to be able to, don't follow this today if you're learning how to build sermons to take sermons out to people. But from the heart, if you're born of God, you're born from above, well then, live like it. It's that straightforward. Got that, Kelly Lambert? Right? You throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one who got hit. Right? And so, if you haven't been water baptized as a believer, okay? And by the way, the sprinkling as a baby does not count as a believer's baptism. And I didn't have a ruling from above on that. We already have it in the Scripture. All who believe and are baptized. So there's believer's baptism. If you have not been water baptized as a believer, you need to do that. Okay? And I'm going to talk to you today about the L word. Okay? The L word, not lice, right? Not love. I'm going to talk to you about leprosy. Find your way to 2 Kings chapter 5 as we introduce today. I wish it was such that we had a love problem. And wouldn't that be great? I have never, ever, ever sat down with a married couple and had to say to them, would you two stop it? You're loving each other way too much. Just over the top. Likewise in church, I've never had to tell another believer, would you stop loving on the church so much? So the real problem is leprosy, right? Now, Naaman, you know about him. Naaman makes his way to Elisha's house. This is 2 Kings 5. Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now remember this. This was that the people in Syria would know that there is a God in Israel. Hey, this is perfect for us. That the people in Fargo-Moorhead, the people in North Dakota would know that there is a living God. And Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, far better than all the waters of Israel?" You should really practice where you're going to be reading. Pharpar, right? The rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So I encourage you to take this up in walking in the newness of life, Romans 6:4, right? Walk in the newness of life. The reference to this, how they say therefore, right? The reference here in Ephesians 4:17 is we're born of God. We're not to live like the unbelievers. We're not to live like the unbelievers, or no more. Maybe today is the day that you decide that I as a believer can no more live as an unbeliever. This I say therefore in the Lord and testify. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord. This is Paul's witness. This is Paul's witness of Jesus Christ in relationship to leprosy. Okay, if you'll hear this, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Let's go look at Romans 6. Now, if you've been fighting against the Lord about getting water baptized, that's why this is for you today. I don't know who you are, if you've been fighting, but if you've been fighting, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, certainly not. Romans 6:1 into 6:2. Romans 6:4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now, for you bonus material studiers, Thompson Chain number 3763, Believer's Walk, and Thompson Chain number 2582, New Man. Works for ladies too, right? The new man, the new one within. If you don't know what I mean by a Thompson Chain number, I'll introduce you today to the Thompson Chain Bible. If you don't have one, I'll give you one. I still have some in the office. So a great way to study the scriptures and to tie these things together. Remember, today's not polished. If you can't follow with me, I can't follow with me. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us today on a very personal level. Okay? That the instructions are in the Word of God. The instructions are in the Word of God. And if you'll listen today, and this reaches you, I should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Now, there's a war going on, right? There is a spiritual war going on, and this spiritual war is filled up with lies, deception. And the rest of the Gentiles, the unbelieving Gentiles, right, the other Gentiles, the way the King James uses that word, the ones that publish all of the how-tos, I don't know if there's any believers amongst the TED group or not, the experts of the world, I don't know, or whatever other expert may be sought out. But I find the instructions, again, in the context that we who are born of God, as children of God, are to grow up into the perfect stature, the measure of the stature, the maturity of Christ, who is our head. And in thinking this, how each and every member, again, I add the each and every, but every member does their part and does this in the edifying of the body, edifying itself in love, the spirit-filled and all body building. And as I take this approach today, and the instructions of our walk, to walk in the newness of life, you caught Naaman, right? Naaman's like us. Give me a miracle, Lord, or else. I mean, isn't you do understand these things that everything about Naaman, but he had one thing lacking in his life. And the one thing that was lacking was the leprosy. And the one thing that was lacking was the thing in which God could actually reach him. Okay, you hear that part. This is not about the things that you're doing well today. This is about that one thing that God wants to use to bring you closer, that your walk might be made mature, perfect, mended. You have stumbled, get back up. That's the approach, okay? As I would seek this. And the issue is the vanity or the futility of the mind. The mind. This is the Greek word, root word, nous, or nous, N-O-U-S, where we get nothetic counseling. How we take the understanding of what God put into the Word by the mind of God that has put into the Scriptures to receive the instructions of the Scriptures, that the Spirit could then use the Scriptures to, again, really cleanse your minds. And you think of the wisdom of the servants for Naaman, as I talked to you about leprosy today. There's a wisdom in the instruction of the Word of God. And you're going to find today, I don't think there's any one great thing in the instructions today. So if God gave you something great to do, you might be able to stir yourself up unto a greatness. Wow, I really did something great, and I was a great person to do a great thing. And then if that's you, and God's talking to you today about giving us $1.7 million so we can buy this whole corner, we'll name it after you and let you have it. It wouldn't be so funny if people didn't actually do stuff like that. Now, what I offer up to us today is instructions that are attainable, doable. The Word of God within reach. In all humility, the mind of Christ. In all humility, you're born from above. And what does he do? He puts his life into you. And the Spirit of God, well, he makes you like Naaman. He renews your mind, and it becomes like a childlike mind that is now opened unto all the things that God would instruct, teach, and give. A child of God. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Again, if you're wondering what futility of the mind, how the unbelievers walk, what's going on in this world? What are you seeing? You're seeing four things. They're alienated from the life of God. Okay? First one is their understanding is darkened. Okay? So I still play this game when I get up in the middle of the night. I like to close my eyes and just find my way around from memory. Okay? So, you know, like maybe one day I'll actually need it if my eyes grow so dim that I got to know where everything's at. And I'll say to my wife, why'd you leave that there? Right? Ouch. Right? I didn't know it was there. Whatever that might be. But spiritually. So verse 18 is open up your eyes and see the spiritual darkness that is all around you. Okay? You know, those that are publishing the information, giving instructions how to live, they don't know. They don't know. So to live as believers, so born of God, to walk like it, live like it, this understanding, so there are four things, their understanding is darkened. Now, our understanding should be what? Our understanding should be enlightened. Revelation of the knowledge of Him. What is sin? Or if I can say leprosy, what is leprosy? Well, leprosy in the Bible is a great type of sin in that it seemingly comes out of nowhere. And then, again, if you think about what leprosy does, it corrupts you, but it really deadens the nerves, and such that nobody really dies from leprosy, but they die from the injuries that they get, you know, because you can't feel anything, because it deadens the nerves. Having their understanding darkened. I can't dare entrust my children unto the world. Okay, and so that's God talking, by the way. See? Children of God. God says what? Do not love this world. Do not love the things in this world. You know what our Father says to us? Don't love the world. I can't entrust the world, because the world hates you. Having their understanding darkened, the understanding of this world is darkened. And the second one, alienated from the life of God. Unbelievers are alienated from the life of God. You being born of God, you're close to the life of God, because he's in you. And so the instructions that will be attainable today, and the reason for this darkened understanding and alienated from the life of God, separated, it's really because of sin, but he describes that it's sin in the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, Paul tells the Corinthian church that it's Satan who has blinded the minds and the eyes of the unbelievers lest they should see and believe. Now, you look at this, and to walk in this newness of life, and remember the L word today is leprosy, okay? Leprosy corrupts the body, and this is the whole thing. Sin is corrupting all around us. So having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling. Some translations say calloused. And you consider this past feeling, that which one God has given to feel in the context to feel really right and wrong, I'm driving in my car and I in the morning and the bright sky, and I'm like, Lord, look at the beautiful sky. You know, unbelievers don't look like that. They don't think like that. They don't, oh, God, thank you. See, being past feeling, it's a lot like leprosy. Who've given themselves over to lewdness, again, the dirty mind, the perverse mind, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, here comes the instructions as we begin to take this to heart. The unbelievers, right? Again, we formerly, having done some of those things as unbelievers, now being saved, are called to no longer walk the way the rest of the Gentiles walk in their darkness, spiritual darkness, because in that part of the lewdness, or again, the uncleanness with greediness, describing an unbridled lust. Now, the honest instruction to Naaman was wash and be cleaned. Simple. Wash and be cleaned. And you look at this instruction here to see that the works, the lewdness which works all uncleanness with greediness, it's an unbridled lust. What's our honesty? Well, we all have lust of the flesh. In fact, that's what's in the world, and that's within us. And this is why my caution, and now I want to take the sharp edge of the sword to address the mind. That intellect, intelligent thought, feeling. Or I might say to you, it's time for us to reason together. So the Lord tells in Isaiah's prophecy, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. How can you be washed in red, you know, how can you be washed in blood and come out white as snow? And this is the reasoning, the thinking, and all along, okay, all along verse 19 is describing an emotion that awakens a desire given over to a lust that's out of bounds. And that's what you can find published everywhere and delivered right to your handheld computer. And that's the sin and the lust and the greediness, the uncleanness. I don't know if we've ever lived in a time frame ever in the world where everyone's, like, if you could describe it this, the uncleanness with greediness, I want it now, everybody can get it. It's right, it's delivered right to you. So now, let's get on to the instructions. But you have not so learned Christ. So in talking to the believers who are born from above in Ephesus, having given all this description of what Christ has done, all the promises that are yet to come in heaven, and now to live out in the walk here in the now, to no longer walk like unbelievers walk. I mean, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32 is given to us, church, so that we would not live as unbelievers, so that we would not be leprous. Okay? If you catch the reference today. But you have not so learned Christ. Verse 20, learned Christ, pupil, learner, follower, disciples. The disciples, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus climbs up on the mountain, and it's his disciples who follow after him. He leaves the crowds. He leaves the rest of these, you know, sight seekers. He leaves the event. He leaves the concert, if you will, and he goes up, climbs up the mountain, and those that want to hear what he says, they follow up after him. And you have not so learned Christ. Well, Paul here, talking to the Gentile believers in Ephesus, knows this truth, that when you are born of Jesus Christ and he puts his life in you, he gives you his Spirit, and the Spirit begins to teach you the life of Christ. Paul, it would have instructed, would have brought the doctrine of Christ. Acts 2:42. What did the early church give themselves unto? Again, in their teaching was the doctrine of Christ, who he is, how does he live? Matthew 5, 6, and 7 for us is this is what I've learned. And, well, I'll just take what I learned today. I got permission from God to share what I learned with you today. Matthew 7, you can turn there. Because I'm going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 after last week. I'm listening to the instructions. You know, if I got my sermons from sermons.com, I wouldn't know if I was to follow the instructions or not. But if I pray and get them from God, then I got some instructions to follow. Where does this come from? This is the Word of God. And you look at Matthew 7, and it starts like this. And these are my instructions today. And so I learned to follow Christ, and I continue to follow him. And I've heard him. If indeed you've heard him, been taught by him, the truth that is in Jesus. Well, I found it here today. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with measure you use, it will be measured back to you. How brave are you today? Are you willing to stand up and say, yes, I judge rightly about everybody else in my life? Are you quite willing to humble yourself and say, I probably don't know everything? In fact, if I would take that stance, we're all judging. I mean, that we rely on that ability to discern, but the measure that you use. So again, if you see something, and it goes right into this, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? I wasn't finding any specks in worship today. Wasn't looking for anything wrong in another person. You know, leprosy is obvious. Look at Naaman. He's on his skin. But what do we do with one another? And I've learned Christ. Look at this. And it's like, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? How many times is a pastor called upon to help somebody out with something? And so I take this to heart. I know he didn't write it just for pastors, but it works for all of us. But I take it to heart. How could I say to another person, let me help you with the speck that's in your eye, and see a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. Now, first remove the plank from your own eye. And, well, there's more, but that's just a sample. All right, so if you have learned Christ, have you learned Christ? I mean, again, this is the issue. Paul tells the Ephesians, and I think it's beautiful. It's not. Why would you keep living the way you used to live before you knew Christ, before you were born of God, and now you've learned, and again, 21, I've heard him, taught by him, the truth is in Jesus. These are instructions. And if you'll receive it, and I'll assign it again, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you haven't discipled another believer, and you yourself are not being discipled, you need to be discipled. Where do we start? Matthew chapter 5. Now, so it took me all week to get through 5 and 6, and on Sunday morning I started in 7. That's my pace. Holy Spirit pace. I don't know what your pace is. And I'm ready to talk to all kinds of people about Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You know, go the extra mile, if you will, the second mile. How about this? Do not worry about your life. Okay? How about this one? Blessed are you when men speak all manner of evil against you for Jesus' name's sake. You know, just, you've heard him, taught by him. So right there in 21, just instructions. Instructions. These are my instructions. This is what's coming next. If God gave you something great to do today, you might muster yourself up to it. You know how we like? We're like Naaman. We pray to God. Everything that we can see is wrong in our lives when we hold the mirror of Scripture up with us. And we think God should just wave his hand over that part of our life and supernaturally heal us to walk perfectly. But he won't do it that way. Okay, I remember my early prayers, just asking God, "Oh, there's some junk inside." You know, when you talk about lewdness and working on all uncleanness with greediness, I would have been the poster child for that for 10 years. I was an example of what not to do, backslidden. And now I've heard him, I've learned Christ. I'm his pupil, learner, follower, disciple, and I've learned and seen and heard in him that the truth is in Jesus. And here comes the instructions. Verse 22. Put off concerning the former conduct. Put off concerning your former conduct. Anybody in the King James this morning? Singular or plural? Plural. Ye. Right? Plural. Not the singular. Okay, so you're hearing it, church? Okay. This is all plural. So when you're reading this, ye have not so learned Christ, ye have heard him, this is plural. So guess who's hearing all this together at the same time and reading the same instructions on the same day in the same place? Okay. You know, my wife really needs to hear this one, or my husband really needs to hear this one, or whatever that might be. No, we need this. That ye put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Naaman, right? Naaman. What did he need to do? He had leprosy, okay? See, this idea, again, a great picture of the nature that we have to put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And Peter describes, and he warns, to abstain from those fleshly lusts which war against the soul. This which every one of us has, and you're wondering, are they out of bounds? What is unbridled lust? Well, this is the whole point. If a desire comes in, and then you measure the desire, you're being tempted to sin, and you measure the desire and the lust that's in you, and you say, I cannot act upon that. That's called a bridle, right? It's, I have been held back by the Holy Spirit. Don't think once for yourself that, I should not have any lust anymore. That's like Naaman asking for this. Wave your hand over this. And because God does not take your old nature away. So when you're born from above, the old nature is still in there, and then he gives you, you're born of him, and you have the new nature, you have the life of Christ in you, and you know what his instructions are to you? Deny yourself. Take up your cross, follow me. Those are not complicated instructions. He does not come in and wave his hand over the spot of your life of leprosy, you know, that of lewdness, lust, whatever that is. No, it remains. It's still in there. And now the instructions are to put it off. Think of it like a garment. Change your clothes. Take off the old man, which is growing corrupt, and put on the new man. How did Naaman do that? He followed the instructions. Whatever the instructions would be, so how do you do this? Well, it's not a great thing. You know, and here's the snare that Satan throws out sometimes to people. If you just make this great sacrifice for God, then he'll respond to you, and then he'll do what you're asking him to do for you. When backslidden, I prayed more prayers like, God, if you don't, I mean, everything I've done, it just please don't punish me for that. Don't make it happen according to what I did. And I'll serve you, or whatever I was. I'll go to church on Sunday, whatever small negotiation I would offer up. Put off the old man, which grows corrupt. What is corrupting this world? It's the same thing, the deceitful lusts. Satan loves this. If he puts an emotion, a desire, a lust, I want this, he can advertise it. Billboards, right? Social media, you know. I mean, you don't even need to, like, go looking for it, and it comes to find you now. The deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So verse 23, renewed layman. Naaman the layman, right? It's not just for pastors, right? Naaman, renewed. Baby butt smooth, if I can say that, right? Brand new skin. Now, why is it that when one gets old, their skin becomes what? Leathery? Fragile. I mean, you bump your arm, you know, when you're younger, it's like, yeah, it's just a scratch. You do it when you're older, all of a sudden the skin's rolled all the way back. And collagen, right? Remember that love that holds everything together? Now, we know it in a physical body, but, I mean, Naaman follows the instructions and comes out renewed. Now, I'm going to offer this up, and the instructions is to put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I am born again. I have the mind of Christ. I'm a child of God, and my mind is now new. Now, when Satan comes to tempt along the same lines of which I used to be an expert sinner in, now when that comes, I'm told to be, I've got a new mind in Christ. I'm renewed. I'm a child of God. I have a brand new mind. And again, intellect, thoughts, feelings, right? Satan loves to transfer feelings out of the reason and put them into lust category. What do I mean? Well, all you have to do is check all of your slogans that advertisers use to sell their products. Toyota's old one was, oh, what a feeling. Just buy the car. Right? Nike, just do it. I mean, this idea, and I want to put the feelings, thoughts, reasoning back into the renewed spirit of our mind. Are we just going to sit idly by as Christians and hand it off to the darkened minds that are the experts that say that feelings aren't in the mind? Because the scriptures, that's part of the definition of this spirit of our mind. And then right here again, carnal mind is enmity with God. Reprobate mind God gives to those who refuse to believe there is a God, and he hands them over unto and gives them that debased mind. So here we live in the midst of this world of those who don't think right according to the righteousness of God. And then operating in this, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And now here comes the instruction of putting on. Put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You notice that the renewing of your mind comes before you put on the new man? We would like to think what? Oh, I'll just put on the new man and then I'll be renewed. No, this is Naaman coming to the instructions and says, I will wash seven times in this filthy, dirty river. I've seen the Jordan, right? I've baptized people in the Jordan. I've almost been swept away in the Jordan, okay? It's not clean. How is it that a sinner could be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and come out white as snow? You put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Anybody in here feel righteous right now? Anybody feel holy? Wait, I've been given the mind of Christ. So if you can reclaim thoughts, feelings, intellect, you can shut the door on the my feelings, right? So my feelings are to be submitted unto. What is that? It's to be submitted unto the new creation. I am created true and right and holy. Therefore, you submit your feelings. So sometimes my feelings betray me. How can it be that the one who is feeling this way, I can feel so opposite of the truth? Okay? And therefore, I want to reclaim the necessity of accounting. Is it really a feeling that is arrived out of an emotion, desire that turns to a lust that I should not follow? I mean, if you walk into the bank and the vault door is open and nobody's around and you could go and get all the money you wanted, you're like, I just don't feel good about that. Or some of you are like, oh, that feels like that. Wouldn't have to work another day in my life. Okay. So now on to the instructions. This is Naaman washing seven times in the Jordan. Again, it's for our cleanliness, right? It's for the removal of the leprosy, so we can love as we ought to love. So that, I mean, I would love to come and just exhort and encourage all of you in the love problem that you have. Man, you're loving God greatly. And you're loving one another greatly. We got some of that going on. But we're addressing the leprosy problem. Therefore, put away lying. Verse 25, here's your instructions. So in putting off the old man, lying is a part of the old nature. The new creation, the new life in Christ, does not, cannot, will not lie. That's why when you do lie as a Christian, you're lying according to the old nature. And then the new nature, you're convicted by that, or should be. Okay? Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Quoting Psalm 4:4. It's a prayer psalm. You want your prayers answered? Stop lying. Do you hear that? You want your prayers answered? Stop lying. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Oh, that's the Psalm 4:4 quote. The other one was Zechariah 8. My bad. Strike that from the record. Let's try that again. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That's Zechariah 8:16. But it still stands. Okay? About you want your prayers answered? We're members of one another. So, lying is the first one identified here. Leprosy, right? So again, that which you can't detect is in you, will cause you to be numb, deadens your nerves. Hansen's disease, if you want to look it up on the internet and learn all about it, just choose your site wisely. When you think about what this really means for us to put away lying, we're members of one another. If you love one another, what do? You speak the truth. How about at home? What are you doing right now? What are you thinking about? Right? Where were you? These are the things that we have with one another. What about in church? Now, I just offer up Naaman's an example of character versus reputation. He expects the living God to perform miraculous things for a man of reputation such as him. The prophet doesn't even see him. He just sends a messenger. You know how wonderful that is? I figured that the great man of God would do great things, and so therefore putting away lying. Simple instructions. Simple instructions. Put away lying. Speak truth with one another. Be angry and do not sin. Now this is Psalm 4. 4:4. Okay? This is the prayer psalm. This is God hears my prayers and answers. Now James says that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So I'm born again in all true righteousness and holiness, and therefore you take this, be angry and do not sin. So the great question to ask before you sin is, what made me so angry? Okay? Quick to listen, slow to speak. What do we normally do with our anger? Oh, we got things to tell people. In our anger, right? And some people keep it around so they can tell people things and get things straight with them because they need to hear this, right? But if the measure that you use would be measured back to you, would you ever want to correct somebody in your anger because you're fed up with what they've been doing and now you're going to let them have it? Okay? I'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that for me and you. Be angry and do not sin. Actually, I'm supposed to say you and me because the correct English grammar is to put me afterwards. So you and me. We're in this together. Be angry and do not sin. How do you do that? I only know one way to not do that. Right? Because I'm a leper that needs to be cleansed from my sin. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from unrighteousness. And you can come out baby butt smooth, clean, renewed, name a new skin, whatever you want to call that. All right? Brand new. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, all I have to say to you is you better take care of it on the day that you get angry. Take care of it on that day. And if you did sin in your anger, now you got some forgiveness to seek out. And if you're angry and you're not sinning, then go find out what God wants to do with that situation that made you so angry that he would want you to live after the new man. Now, verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Now, this is just a comma in between, according to the translators. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. What's the best way you can give place to the devil? I believe it's with the sin of anger. If you're angry, Satan's right there to get you to what? To sin. When you get that little flame going on inside that starts to burn and I'm ready to take action, I mean, how quickly can Satan get one to sin in anger? Nor give place to the devil. I believe lying and anger, part of that old nature, give place, again, a foothold. How much does he need to get in between people? So the way this word describes is just the littlest part of a place. So the only way you can do that is to not give him a place. Again, is to be washed clean. Follow the instructions. Don't give the devil a foothold. If you recognize Satan's trying to get in between you and another, what should you do with that? Well, I say you should remove that foothold, put it on a slippery slope so Satan can't get a foothold. How do you do those things? Well, the truth, right? So back to lying. And my wife's really good at this with me. When I say I'm upset, oh, you mean you're angry? No, I was just irritated. Oh, you mean you're angry? She's right. See, and not to give the devil, again, a foothold. Simple instructions. If you recognize he's getting in, what should you do? Follow the instructions. Speak the truth to one another. Don't sin in your anger. And the devil will not have a foothold. How did Jesus teach this in John chapter 8 to those who were lying? He says, when you lie, you speak the devil's native tongue, for he is a liar from the beginning. And if you follow his lies, why do we lie? To protect our reputation. It's that straightforward. If we want others in church to think we're better than we are, then we lie to cover it up. Okay? That's all that it is. And then you think of those that had set up for Jesus, trying to get him to give a wrong judgment, and they did the whole thing of adultery, and they put the whole thing out there and laid it out there so that they could get Jesus. They're trying to corner him, and that's where he teaches about, you guys are liars. Let him who stole steal no longer. So part of putting off the old nature, thou shalt not steal. It seems to work well with the Ten Commandments. But I like here what works in the new nature, let him who stole steal no longer. And that's a good one. I mean, a really good one. Because we don't really recognize when we're stealing. Have you stolen the affection that is due your spouse? 1 Corinthians 7. Have you stolen that which belongs to God and took it for yourself? Malachi talked about robbing the threshing floors, that first fruits that belong to God. You know, and you let these things reach us. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Off of the old man. Simple instructions. Simple instructions. Don't take anymore. Don't steal anymore. But get to work. Labor. Work with your hands. The reward of your labor. The pay. The work with your hands. And then give. You have something to give. Instead of stealing, right, taking for myself, now I have worked for what I have, and I have something to give another. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So this corruption that is in the world through lust. So you think of this context as we're reading this morning. This gross corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So verse 22 matched up now with verse 29, corrupt words. So out of our lust and desire for something we want for ourselves or from another that we might, we can use our words to corrupt. So the instruction of the old nature, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay. Now don't put a positive and negative charge to this. Okay. Because sometimes the words that edify are corrective words. Do you catch that? Sometimes the words that edify are, hey, don't do that. Hey, that was wrong. The first two words we taught all of our children were no and stop. Even though Dr. Spock said, don't ever do that. Never read his junk, but the darkness in this world. You know, how valuable is no in church? How many times have I had to tell people, don't do that? Okay? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Not the feeling you think you should have, but the instructions that you are to do. Because Naaman went away furious and in a rage because he did not think that he was going to get the healing and he would be edified and restored. And he's like, better, what'd I come here for? There's better rivers in Syria. Not a man of God. I mean, do you treat the scriptures that way? See, and I look at this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Well, how can I really build somebody up? How can I help them connect with what I'm telling them? Well, if I speak those things in agreement with the truth, and then and then the Spirit, the Word of God, and hey, look at this scripture. And you can use those things to impart grace to the hearers. I do it with unbelievers. I just don't give them chapter and verse. Well, sometimes I do. Simple instructions today, but not easy to do. Aha. That's the catch. So what do you do if you've used words to corrupt? Well, about a year or 2 years ago, I did this with my wife, and I was trying to prevent her from having to really carry the cross in some interaction. I stepped in, and I used some corrupt words, and it lit a fire. And I was wrong. And she was not wrong in any part of it. But try to convince me that it was only me. See? Now I'll give you some good, right? Good Holy Spirit instruction. If you both have sinned, right, address it separately. Between you and one and two people, and you both have sinned, take care of each one of them one at a time. Because if you lump them together, then our deceitful lust kind of says, like, well, I wouldn't have said that if you hadn't said that. Your corrupt word makes my corrupt word less corrupt than your corrupt word. And so while I'm judging you, you should stop judging me while I'm judging you over what you said. It wasn't as bad as what I said. But what you said, I wouldn't have said what I said. And see, so apply it. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So when you've said a corrupt word, that's part of the old nature that has to be put off. Speak only that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this is where we come to. The Holy Spirit in you, dwells in you, never leaves you. He sees everything you see. He goes everywhere you go. He listens to everything you listen to. He hears you say everything you say. He knows you better than you know yourself. The Holy Spirit in you is pleading and longing with you to live like Jesus Christ, to walk like Christ, so that that Holy Spirit feeling that we call conviction, when you're about to sin and you know it's wrong, don't wave off the Holy Spirit. Don't wave him off. If you're able to say, I got this, or I want to do it anyway. So the grieving of the Holy Spirit, I think a great way to just, you know, listen to that is that if your mom knew what you were watching and doing, you know, when you're in college. Young men, you go to college and you live the way you want to live, and also there's no parental supervision. If your mom knew what you were doing right now, would it grieve her? Oh, my boy, he wasn't supposed to turn out that way. How much more the Holy Spirit in you, who is holy, would grieve him? So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He's not leaving you. He's not going to break the seal and say, well, I guess she's really not mine after all. No, he doesn't operate that way. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Six of them there, right? So if you take this work here of Naaman washing seven times. Can you address them one at a time? Right? The bitterness. So we know about bitterness. A root of bitterness will defile many. These are defiling ones. This is why leprosy matches. Bitterness will defile. Okay? Wrath, anger, clamor. You know, this evil speaking. Now, you might be good at five of those or six of those, but you need to be cleansed over one of those. do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe this next reference is the way that we would grieve the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Now, all of those things our head never did. Jesus never did that. Okay? No bitterness, no wrath, no anger, no clamor, no evil speaking, no malice. But I think verse 32 describes the new skin, if you will, if I can now bring it through. Put on the new skin. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus, the Holy One, leaves heaven and puts on the man suit. He puts on our skin and doesn't sin in it. And now he says to us, I put my spirit in you. I put my nature in you. You believed me. You trusted my death and resurrection. You're born of me. And now he says what? Well, now have your mind renewed and walk in the newness of life. Why would you be water baptized? Well, because the scriptures reveal it's a command, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, Jesus said. And then he describes them being baptized and this believer's baptism. And this is the likeness of Christ. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. How do you end up on a cross, nailed, again, beaten beyond recognition? How does Jesus end up there, tender-hearted? And we get troubled over a cross look. You shouldn't look at me that way. I can't believe you said that to me. So Jesus is on the cross. Kindness, again, so kind, tender-hearted, and what's his cry from the cross? Forgiveness. Now, since you're members of one another, and again, today's unfortunate, you're all looking at me, I look at all of you, but it really would be most appropriate today to acknowledge with one another, this is, and you can look at one another and say, well, this is the one another in here. I've been given a church to practice being kind to one another, tender-hearted, right? Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I begged the Lord 3 years. I had a prayer. 3 years. Lord, give me a new heart. I had a hard heart. Ezekiel 37, heart of stone, heart of flesh. Heart of stone, heart of flesh. I'll put into you a new heart. Lord, give me a new heart. Okay. I was anything but kind. And my wife can attest to that. You know, don't attribute tender-hearted as a feminine characteristic, nor don't take kindness to be a feminine characteristic or forgiveness. Now, I don't know what it was like for Naaman. I mean, you think about it. Not only did he have leprosy, but being a soldier, he probably had scars. Can you imagine if, like, this whole thing, not just the leprosy is gone, but what? His skin is all new. And if there ever was a people who've been awakened unto the Holy Spirit's work, I came to today in prayer, and I know that I don't have to convince anybody in the room that we need to walk in the newness of life. I didn't come to convince any of you. I came because you're already all convinced. Naaman was convinced at the first that if he just got to Israel, that the prophet would heal him.
and he almost stumbles over his reputation, and he should be treated better. And we've come to this today not to convince, but I'm coming now today to describe instructions that every one of us can follow. Now, I want you to go back and look at verses Ephesians 4, 15, but speaking the truth in love. Okay? May grow up into all things into him who's the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now, the joint in the body are the relationships between the members. The simple instruction is, my love relationship with every one of you in church supplies what the body needs to grow up into Christ. And then you personalize it. My loving relationship with every member of the body of Christ supplies that which causes us to grow up into and become mature in Christ, according to the effect of working. Now, the effect of working is what God does. Naaman thought God's effect of working would be a wave of the hand. God, do something magical today. I mean, you hear how many times we approach, like even the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we're like, God, if you would give me the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I'd never sin another day. No, the effect of working is by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And along comes the instructions to put off the old and put on the new. And if we all can follow these instructions, and maybe it begins here today with verse 25, stop lying or put away lying. Right? Don't sin in your anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. Right? Put on truth. Okay. Put on reconciliation, if you will. And put off stealing. Put on work. Right? Put off taking. Put on giving. Put off corrupt words. Put on edifying words. So, Father in heaven, we ask now that you would wash us clean. Lord, we do have a problem, a leprosy problem. We do have a corrupt nature. Lord, we leave church, and sometimes before the day ends, our corrupt words actually are right there. And so we have a leprosy problem. Lord, we don't have a love problem. And I ask you to make us new today. Renew us in the spirit of our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes, the mind of Christ. We ask that you would teach us meekness, lowliness, humility, that the other in this conflict is better than us. That in our judgment, we would judge our brothers and sisters, still to be brothers and sisters, even if we don't like what they're doing. And we ask you now, Lord, to do a great work through the instructions of putting off the old and putting on the new, and in that we would no longer grieve the Holy Spirit in bitterness or wrath. We would no longer grieve the Holy Spirit in anger. But Lord, we'd be kind to one another. So we come now seeking the mercy. That we'd be tender-hearted to one another. Not hardened when we've sinned against one another, but tender-hearted to one another when we've sinned against one another. And know that your forgiveness of sin, you'd forgive our sins, you'd forgive our leprosy, our corrupt nature. Lord, the deceitfulness of that sin, you would cleanse and wash us today and send us forth to walk in love as children of God. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to work these effective working in our lives, in our relationships with one another. Lord, mend your body. Heal the relationships. May the forgiveness, Lord, heal the family relationships. And may you confound the rest of the unbelievers in our lives
who walk according to the deceitful lusts. Lord, may they be confounded by the love of God that's in us. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.